4 o'clock on a Thursday here in New York City. Bad Tiki will join us in a half hour. Again, I did it again. It's like I'm a drug addict, and this is my drug. All I'm doing is analyzing the interaction between Donald Trump and Barack Obama at the Jimmy Carter funeral, trying to figure out what was said.
Harry, get your fat ass out of the couch.
Were there more interactions or just the same one?
I mean, it's the same one. I'm sure there were plenty, but that's the one that I've seen a video of, and many of us have seen a video of. And if you haven't, basically, Trump is saying something to Obama, and Obama's laughing. He's going,
I didn't have sex with a porn star.
I mean, it could be anything. I'm looking at my Twitter mentions. People have good ideas that maybe Trump said to Barack Obama, and then Morash said he doesn't care anymore that the Mets signed Soto.
Juan Soto.
You know, maybe it was Aaron Rodgers to the Giants is the right move. That was possible. Maybe he said the Jets are hiring Rex Ryan again. Isn't that funny? Somebody said, hey, can you believe that Met fans believe they're the best team in the division now that they got Juan Soto? Someone said maybe he's saying Scott Boras really did use Prince Fielder's contract for Pete Alonso. A lot of Rex Ryan jokes, man. I got to tell you, most of them are filled with that. Maybe he's saying to Barack, Yankee fans said they got better by not signing Juan Soto. Can you believe that? Oh, man. So now, oh, look, a Brooklyn Net joke. That's good. Oh, man, this is a good one, Teak. This may be it. He said, yeah, John Mara said it was a good decision to stick with Shane and Daboll.
Stop. All sports related.
Well,
obviously.
I mean,
I'm sure they're not all sports related. You're just reading the sports related.
I'll give you one non-sports related that did make me laugh. And I think we all have to realize that it's a joke. And obviously it's not true, but it was making me smile briefly. And it said, don't worry, I'm going to buy Kenya. That birth certificate thing won't be a problem anymore.
Jeez.
That made me laugh, even though it's utter BS.
Oh, Barack said that.
No, I think Trump said that in the joke. But I don't know.
Why would now it doesn't make sense.
It's all fake. Don't try to analyze it.
Well, so making jokes, they got to make sense.
That's true. So I don't know if you remember this, but a few weeks ago, do you remember when, and I don't like to do this, who am I? I'm not a teacher. Mm-hmm. Do you remember when I made a homework assignment to you and Sean and Loogie? Do you guys remember this?
I remember.
What was the homework assignment?
The homework assignment was rank in order the teams you will root for and not root for in the NFL playoffs.
That's right. Did you complete the homework assignment, Sean?
Of course I did, Evan.
Did you find the L? That's the real important question.
Evan, what if I told you I always knew where the L was and I wanted you to squirm?
I did squirm because it's not because you need to wear the L because that's a part of the deal. Sean has to wear an L, taking a loss, if you will. It's that the barber girls work so hard on it. I worked hard ordering it from Amazon. And it just isn't fair to have something go away after only one day. So I'm glad you have it. Are you wearing it now?
Yes, I'm wearing it. I'll stand for SNY.
All right, SNY, please show the L around Sean's beautiful neck. That is such a beautiful L, man. I got to tell you, your daughters did such a great job. And your wife, right? Your wife played a part of it as well?
Yes, Tracy definitely helped.
That's a beautiful L. I'm almost jealous that I want to wear that L at some point.
Well, I'm sure you will at some point, Evan.
You think so?
Definitely.
Yeah. Probably will. It may take a while because I've been on a hot streak lately. So I may not have to wear the L for a while. But I kind of look forward to the day I do wear that L. All right, anyhow, the NFL playoffs are about to begin. I'm very excited about the NFL playoffs beginning. Aren't you excited about the NFL playoffs beginning, Sean?
I am. Well, you're asking Sean.
I'm psyched for the NFL playoffs.
I'm only asking Sean because he's got a read he's got to do before we talk about it, and then we'll talk about it.
Yeah, you know, Evan, it's funny you say that. The road to New Orleans on the Fan is sponsored by Bet365.
Now I'll go back to who I care about. Tiki, aren't you excited about the NFL playoffs?
I am very excited, but I'm doing your homework assignment. You know, like when you used to get those homework assignments and like you just kind of forgot? And
yes, then, all of them.
And then your teacher is getting ready to collect it. You're just sitting there like doing your homework real quick. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm doing.
Oh, come on.
He's copying someone else's homework.
See, you're very unique in this. When I tell you the teams I am rooting more so for than teams I'm rooting dead against, it's all about the jersey. It's all about the city. Uh-huh. And it's all about my own personal issues. My prediction with Tiki Barber, it's not even a prediction, it's a spoiler, is that your rooting interests are about relationships. If you like somebody, you're going to root for them. If you don't like, for example, I don't want to say you don't like Russell Wilson, but it sounds like whenever we talk about Russell Wilson, you're not exactly positive about him.
This is true, but I love Mike Tomlin.
That's true. So how do you break the tie when there's a quarterback maybe you don't like
who's gonna
and
be
a head coach?
Who's going to be there longer?
Oh, that's easy then.
Exactly.
All right, Sean, number one. The number one team you are rooting for to win a Super Bowl.
The Chiefs.
Me too.
Really?
I want the three-peat, one for Mahomes, one for Reed. Let's go challenge Brady a little bit.
I can see that, and it's down my list a little bit, but not that far down. I can see why people would do that.
Yeah, Sean is right.
It's history.
It's history, and it's also hurting Tom Brady. At the end of the day, Patrick Mahomes is the beacon of hope to kind of take the mantle of GOAT away from Tom Brady. And the more he wins, the more he piles up championships, the more he does things that Tom Brady never did, the better it is to replace him atop that mountain. So, absolutely. And part of that is the bitterness that I have as an angry little Jets fan. But also, it's cool. Like, you talk about the history of it. I mean, we haven't seen a team accomplish this. We've seen teams come close.
Right.
You know, certainly before my time, the San Francisco 49ers lost to the New York Giants in what is like the three-peat game. NFC Championship game at home, a chance to win three in a row. They come up short. And we've talked about this a lot, you know, usually at the start of seasons. The Chiefs haven't become hateable despite all their winning.
That's true. Well, not yet.
Not yet.
Maybe if they go three in a row and they start acting like they're the end-all be-all, maybe then we start hating them.
But there is another reason I'm rooting for the Kansas City Chiefs, and I know that this is going to get me mocked. I know that. Like, I'm already ready for it. So go ahead, totally get it, mock the crap out of me. Do you know what that is, Sean? Because I don't know if you can guess it.
I'm just going to assume it ties back to the Patriots.
No, it ties to the Jets.
Oh.
And that is, I don't want anyone to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. I want to beat the Kansas City Chiefs.
Gonna be waiting a while, dude.
I may wait a while, and they're not close. Like last year when I said that, it was more reasonable. Okay, Rodgers gets healthy, you never know. But I don't want Lamar and the Ravens to do it. I don't want Josh Allen and the Bills to do it. I don't want Justin Herbert and the Chargers to do it. I want to do it. I want to be the team to knock off this dynasty. So if it's not me, let it not be anybody.
Okay. All right.
No, he didn't mock me. I feel like I got away with murder right
now. I'll mock you. How about you start with beating the Patriots and the Dolphins on a regular basis and stop worrying about beating the team that is going for a three-peat?
No, here's the thing. I can't mock Evan for that because if it was an NFC team, I would dumbly say the same thing. So I can't be hypocritical.
After the history the Jets have had right now and the state of the Jet franchise, if you made that big of a leap, you would do that?
Well, think about it. If you're Evan, you might as well have a five-peat and be in place where I could take you down when I'm ready.
Patrick Mahomes is going to be retired by the time the Jets have any shot of beating them, though. They are like, you think they're that close to beating the Chiefs, Ev?
No,
I don't
want
anyone else to beat them. They're more likely to lose first to another team before they lose to the Jets. I'm just saying it's unrealistic.
But it might be unrealistic, but if you're Evan, you might as well win every championship in a row and then dream that when I'm finally ready, we're the ones that end it all.
Thank you, Sean. I mean, Sean is just spot on. Like, he gets it. He gets my brain. Maybe because we're very similar. Which is not like necessarily a good thing.
No.
But we're very similar in thinking like, I'm not suggesting the Jets are getting an AFC title game next year. I'm not suggesting that. I'm saying I don't want anyone else beating them if I can't be the one to beat them.
Correct.
All right, bottom of your list. Bottom list for me is the Buffalo Bills. Sean McDermott is disgusting. This is a guy, if we've all forgotten, actually tried to pump his team up by comparing his team to the 9/11 hijackers. I know that won't be talked about on CBS or Amazon Prime or Fox or God knows where, but that's what happened. That's who Sean McDermott is. That was in his brain. Plus, they're in my division. Plus, their fans are sort of annoying. Plus, Josh Allen has a punchable face. When you add all of that together, the Buffalo Bills are number 14 on my list as the team I least want to see win a championship.
I mean, how could I disagree with that? I hate Sean McDermott. They're a division rival. Do you want me to answer back with mine now?
It's obviously the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yes, it's the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm still disgusted that they took away our ownership of being the only ones to beat Tom Brady and the Patriots. I hate the filthy people that are down there. And I can't live in a world where, and by the way, Saquon or no Saquon, where the Eagle fan is celebrating again, slipping down the poles on Broad Street. Screw them. I don't want the Eagles winning it.
Plus, your whole argument about Saquon Barkley just blows up.
Of course. But you know what?
I get it.
That's a fifth of what's going on here. Regardless, I wouldn't want the Eagles winning a Super Bowl.
See, that's where even you, Teak, you have to admit, relationships or not, the Eagles are dead last, right?
No, not for me.
What?
For me, they're not dead last.
Excuse me?
Yeah, they're not. They're in my top half.
There is only one other team that I will allow Tiki to put last, and I'm curious if it's that.
Who do you think that is?
It better be the Commanders.
Commanders.
Because that's my former team.
Okay.
Oh.
That's what I love.
I'll give him that.
So you put the Commanders as the least 14th. Team you want to see win a championship?
Yes. Because I don't care. Right? So I did it differently than I think you guys did.
Okay.
So I did the top seven, and then but then there were seven teams that I don't really care about. Right? The Vikings, the Rams, the Chargers, the Texans, Green Bay, the Commanders, the Bills. I don't really care about them. You know what I mean? And I don't even know how to really evaluate them.
So your do not care list is your whole bottom of the head.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, I could twist myself into caring about all 14 in a way that relates to the Giants or anything else.
But I'm not looking at it that way. I'm thinking about who do I know, right? And so the reason the Eagles make my top seven is because of Jeffrey Lurie and my history with that team.
Tiki, I love you. And I know that you have a history. I know there's good people over there. There's no denying. I know you're going to root for the people. Man, you're a Giants idol to so many.
Aren't in this game.
I know,
dude.
But we hate the Eagles, dude.
You hate the Eagles.
We hope that you hate them too.
I mean, I hated
Tiki
playing
Barber.
Them. I hated playing them. But when I had my retirement press conference, which happened to be at the vet, I know it was LinkedIn. Was it the Link?
The Link, yeah.
Yeah, it was the Link. It wasn't that terrible stadium at the end. Jeffrey Lurie came in and said some great things about me, and Brian Dawkins told me some great stuff. It was. I mean, I had respect for the Eagles. I do. I hate that Saquon's there, but I respect the hell of a season that he's had. But at least I care. Like, I have an emotion. What's worse than love? It's not hate. It's apathy.
Right.
Right. So when I think about the Vikings and the Rams and the Chargers, I could care. Like, I don't care.
No, I understand.
One of those teams won, I would be unmoved.
I'll tell you right now.
You know what I mean?
Jalen Hurts could give me the best Brazilian wax I've ever had in my life. I'm never rooting for him to win a Super Bowl.
Nah, I'm with you.
I like Howie. There's just likable people there. That's my point.
I'm sure you'll be happy with this, Sean and Tommy. I have the Eagles second to last.
Good for you, Ev.
At the bottom of my list too. Now I admit, if it's an Eagle Bill Super Bowl, I got to pick the lesser of two evils, and that would be the Philadelphia Eagles, which I think you'd have to understand just based on being a Jet fan and being in the AFC East. But the Eagles and the Bills are at the bottom of my list, and usually, like, I'll tell you how I rank it. The Chiefs are number one for the reasons I laid out.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's all the NFC teams after Philadelphia, because I don't have a hatred for the NFC teams. Right. I have a history with every AFC team. And then the other thing I do, which is very abnormal, we've talked about this, teams that have never won. Teams like the Minnesota Vikings,
right.
The Detroit Lions.
Right, I have them at eight, the Minnesota Vikings.
I don't want them to win. Because them winning will just make me sad about how the Jets haven't won. So I'd rather see, like, the L.A. Rams, who in my lifetime have won Super Bowls, I'd rather see them win. The Green Bay Packers, the Rodgers thing, I'm already over. So Jordan Love winning isn't going to make me feel worse. Mm-hmm. I've seen them win. So I don't mind them winning. Even the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I've seen them win two Super Bowls. So I put the Vikings and the Lions behind the Rams, Washington, Green Bay, and Tampa on my list of teams I'd rather see win a championship.
The Vikings are in the four can't-win list for me. It's Vikings, Bills, Commanders, Eagles, my bottom four. Why, Evan?
Because Vikings, slowly again. Vikings,
Bills, for the same McDermott reasons. Commanders, Eagles, division rivals.
Okay? Why the Vikings, though, for you?
Why, Evan? Because I am too integrated on social media, I can't help myself, and I'm going to get pounded with the memes of Daniel Jones wearing a Super Bowl champions jersey, and I don't want to deal with that on social media.
You know what? That's a good point. Let me change my list and move the Vikings down even further, because I got to deal with worse, which is Sam Darnold.
Yeah, and by the way, today, Kevin O'Connell came out, leaving the door wide open that Daniel Jones has progressed to be the number two quarterback should something happen to Sam Darnold.
Didn't I tell you that?
Yep.
What would be the point of putting him on the active roster unless he was going to be the backup quarterback?
And with that anecdote ahead of Monday night, I know we're going to continue this conversation. It's a good time just to say the road to New Orleans on the Fan is sponsored by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365.
So real quick, here's my list. Ranking in order. The teams I would rather see win a championship. I call this rank the root.
Okay.
Chiefs 1, Rams 2, Commanders 3, Packers 4, Bucks 5, Lions 6. Now I'm going to alter things. Broncos 7, Ravens 8, Texans 9, Chargers 10, Vikings 11, Steelers 12, Eagles 13, Buffalo Bills 14. That is my complete list on what I prefer. And this is just sad that this is what we're talking about because that's New York football. We don't have playoff football to digest.
No, you're right.
That sucks. I'm going to give you Chiefs, Ravens. Would love to see Lamar finally win a championship.
Number two on my list, too.
Yep. The Rams is number three because, honestly, I think another ring puts Stafford in the Hall of Fame, and I'd like to see him there. Bucks, I kind of like Baker Mayfield. The Lions, good for Dan Campbell and those fans. Then I go, this is kind of that middle of the road, like, all right, whatever, I don't really care. Steelers, Chargers, Packers. Then I get to Texans, whatever. I've lost a lot of money on you this year. And then this is the can't-win list. Starts with the Broncos because I don't want to deal with the Giants past on Bo Nix. Then it gets to the Vikings. I don't want to deal with Daniel Jones. Then Sean McDermott, screw him. Then the Commanders, then the Eagles.
Nice.
I like your list. That's a good solid list there,
Sean. I'm just giving you my top seven because 8 through 12, 14, I don't care.
I get you.
Detroit, because of Dan.
Yeah,
the
I get
Ravens, because I love Lamar. The Bucks, because it's the Bucks and my brother's team, and Baker's awesome. The Steelers, the Broncos, because of Sean. Kansas City, because of all the reasons you guys brought up. And then the Eagles. That's my top seven.
The Eagles. Oh, I feel so dirty even hearing
it's very dirty.
I mean, somebody's got to root for
them. Yeah, yeah, the filthy people in Philly.
I rooted for them when they won against the Patriots.
Did you really?
Yes, I was with Tom and Lindsay Fitzpatrick and the Graham family. Ambush. They're big Eagle fans.
And good for them.
Look, South Jersey is still Jersey. I represent all of Jersey with the New Jersey Hall of Fame. You know that.
Stop it. Stop it. Please, you don't have to be political here. Did you take a shower after rooting for the Eagles?
I would admit, Sean, that Eagle-Patriots Super Bowl was very difficult for me.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the Patriots winning, even though I had gotten so used to it, is so disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
But I hate the Eagles, and like their fans even getting to talk about winning a Super Bowl still bothers me all these years later. That was one of those hell Super Bowls, which would be Buffalo-Philadelphia this year, which we've had before. Or, in baseball's case, for Met fans, that Philly-Yankee World Series from 2009. Or the Loogie predicted Mets Red Sox World Series. You wouldn't have fun with that, Sean. That'd be your hell.
No, in fact, the thing I'm most thankful for in life is that I was born in 1987.
Right, so you didn't even have to deal with that one from 86.
Yes, right. I didn't live in a world where that happened.
Tommy, I'm assuming your list is similar to Sean's, or do you have some big differences as a Giant fan?
The one thing I will throw in there is I think with the Rams, everything that's going out in L.A. right now in California, I think there's around the country, I could see there being a sentimental rooting for them if they can be distracted at this point. So I think, and the Rams are likable with McVay.
Do we have an update yet on the venue? Because I know the contingency is Glendale, so they go to Arizona. But have they decided? I know they canceled a Lakers game.
And the Kings game, I think, tonight, and the hockey game last night.
And I need to remind everybody, because I think we forget, the Chargers also play in L.A. So if you're looking for, like, sentimental.
100%. Yeah, for sure. Both teams there, L.A., Chargers and Rams. I'm with you guys, obviously. I don't want to see the Eagles win under any circumstances. I'm going to go with the Lions first for two reasons. Number one, they haven't won in a while, and I want to see. I thought Evan
in a while.
Well, they haven't won ever. But I want to hear Evan and Joe come on the next day and go, maybe we got a shot here. Maybe if the Lions could do it, we could do it.
Now, I agree. That is the rationalization that I will eventually have. But in the moment, like, I will tell you this. If the Lions win the Super Bowl that night, I will go to sleep depressed. Because I will say, are you kidding me? Franchise?
We're still one of the few left?
Yes.
Is that what you're going to say?
Yes. Well, so I think on a short-term view, I would be upset. I'd be happy for a buddy of mine who's a Lion fan, and you're right, Tommy. Like, Beningo would come together and say, you know what? If the Lions could do it, why not us? But in that moment, that night that they win a Super Bowl or even get to a Super Bowl, I'm going to be really jealous.
So you didn't root for the Cubs in the World Series, is what you're telling me. Because you haven't seen the Mets win the World Series. Did you root for they were then Indians?
So I will tell you this. Now, the Indians had the same thing, though, because they had not won a World Series in a long time as well.
But it wasn't on the level of the Cubs.
Yeah, but their last World Series was before the Mets even existed. So their streak was pretty damn long. But to answer your question, yes, I rooted for the Cleveland Indians.
Oh, you did? Yeah. Okay. So
I did.
For the same reasons you're giving, by the way. I was
curious. Then you understand where
I totally understand that. It comes from a sick, deep, dark place. Yes, it does.
The thing, and I know this would never happen, just to answer your question, Teak, about the situation in L.A., and obviously our prayers with everybody out there with these horrible fires. The NFL has said, or at least it's been reported, that if they have to move Monday night's game, they would move it to Glendale, Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
I have a brilliant idea. Okay, I'll present it to all of you. I will preemptively say if someone else has said this, I am not aware of it, so I'm not ripping off their idea. I believe this is my own original idea. But again, if someone else has said it, I apologize. If the Rams cannot play in Los Angeles due to these horrible wildfires, they should not play in Glendale, Arizona.
Hmm.
The game should be moved to St. Louis, Missouri. And the Rams should come home.
You know how pissed off Rams fans in Missouri would be.
Would they?
Yes.
Would they?
It felt like they got just left at the altar by the Rams. They wanted to build a new stadium.
I know, but now they get them.
I mean, where are they playing?
Yeah, they don't have enough time to clean out the asbestos from that TWA dome or whatever.
That that's a problem.
What was it? Who used to be our sponsor on the National Network?
For what?
On CBS Sports Radio, the National Network. Who was it?
Well, the tire place? O'Reilly Auto Parts?
O'Reilly Auto Parts. So O'Reilly Auto Parts used to do this event every year, and I would go because I was on the National Network. And it was they would do it in the old stadium. That place is a dump, Evan. A dump.
It's one time, bro.
I'm telling you, bro, it is a dump. And it's probably gotten worse because it hasn't been used.
And actually, I forgot. It's been used for that stupid spring league, the St. Louis Battlehawks.
Right. Yeah. And it just looks terrible.
Do you not agree, though, that sentimentally it would be pretty awesome?
I think they hated when the Rams left. You think they're just going to welcome them back with open arms?
For a playoff game?
They'd root against them the entire game.
You think so? They would root against them?
Bro, and how far a flight is it from Minnesota to St. Louis?
Yeah, it's a hike.
Actually, what you guys are saying is you don't like my idea.
No. I liked it. I liked it, Evan. They could wear the old school Rams unis. I thought it was cool.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
By the way, wouldn't a little 4-hour drive to Vegas make more sense than Arizona?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think,
be honest with you, 100%.
I think they all make sense.
And wouldn't Vegas be able to handle it easier?
Yeah,
definitely.
Because
it's Vegas. Hey, we need an influx of 50,000 or 90,000 people. Vegas should handle it.
Honestly, they're all antiseptic. Huh. Like, wherever they move that game, it's going to be, it's just a dome and it's whatever. There's no history with the Rams. It's just, it's blah. Like, as a viewer, I'm saying that, obviously.
Right.
If I lived there, it would be very different. Let's take a couple of your calls. Bad Tiki's a few minutes away. Let's go to Bill in Lindenhurst, who's on the fan. How are you, Bill?
What's up, Bill?
How you doing? Hey, Tiki, don't get me wrong. I'm like one of your hugest fans.
Yeah.
Loved you. All the things you did, you're dead to me now. How can you root for the Eagles?
Dude, they're seventh
Tiki,
on my
that's
list.
My number one. I've been a Giant fan since 1963. Watched my first game back there with my father.
They're seventh
been
on my list.
Been a diehard fan ever since, but
Bill,
the Eagles are the team I hate the worst.
I'm not even going to end up rooting for them. They're seventh. Because Detroit's going to go. Ravens are going to go. Maybe the Buccaneers.
I know, but to even put them on a list when you'd like to see them win.
Last.
It's just
put them last.
Stop.
Put them last. I'd rather see the Commanders than them.
No, I can't. I was a Commanders fan.
Well, the Commander thing, Bill, and Bill, I understand. And thank you for the call, man. The Commander thing you have to at least respect Tiki for because of the fact he grew up as a Commander fan. They didn't draft him. Like,
right.
That one I understand. Like, I'm totally with you. They
and
should
then the
be
Rams
last.
And the Chargers, I just don't care about. Like, whatever. Like, their fan bases out there barely care about them.
Tiki, yes. Over the weekend when you sit down and you watch football,
mm-hmm.
and it's the Philadelphia Eagles against the Green Bay Packers on Sunday afternoon on Fox, who are you rooting for?
Saquon's going to rush for 210.
That's a prediction. Who are you rooting for? Come on.
I don't think I'm going to root for anybody, to be honest with you.
What a swerve. This is an incredible swerve from
no, I really don't.
You're dead to us, Saquon, to I don't mind them. I may root for them.
Bro, when someone rushes for 2,000 yards, and there have been a bunch of running backs, let's count up the number of running backs in the NFL history.
Yeah.
There's, I don't know how many thousands of them. There are 9 of them that rush for 2,000 yards.
No, I get you.
I had none but respect. How can you have anything but respect?
There's a difference between respecting someone and rooting for the franchise.
I said I'm not rooting for them.
No.
You use an ultimatum of making a list on the root franchise.
You're right.
I don't care. I might hate the Eagles at times, but you know what? It's better than not caring. I don't care about the Vikings or the Rams or the Chargers. There's nobody on these teams or organizations that I care about. Texans, Green Bay, Commanders, even though LaFleur is pretty cool. I met him last year. So, but like, I don't care. There's nobody I care about. From a personal perspective, I would love my good friend Dan Campbell to win a Super Bowl. The first time I met Lamar Jackson, the first thing he said to me was, I used to read your books when I was a kid. I was like, dude, I love this guy.
Yeah.
Right? And he's awesome. He's one of the elite quarterbacks in football.
You know
the
what Buccaneers, I wonder about?
That's my brother's squad. And hell, Mike Greenberg might be your new general manager, the capologist down there for the Buccaneers. So I have a rooting interest for the Bucs. I know all those guys down there because my brother. Steelers, Mike Tomlin's my dude, man. The Broncos, hell, Sean Payton made my career. And then the Kansas City Chiefs, you're creating history. And even though the Eagles are the love-hate thing, at least it's something.
You don't be
when
a
I watch
really...
the Vikings, I'm not going to care. When I watch the Rams, I'm not going to care. Texans, Chargers, Green Bay, Commanders, I'm not going to care. I'm going to care about these other ones. So they have to necessarily, because there's an emotional tinge to it, I have to put them in the top eight. You know what I mean?
I'm wondering, I don't know if this could ever happen. Obviously, it would be a joke. It's not real. Mm-hmm. I wonder how I'd react if privately Sean McDermott reached out to me and said, hey, Evan, I just want to let you know I love my Mets Bible. I loved it. I read it cover to cover. Just wanted to let you know, and that's it. Huh? Like, would I, my view on him change? Would I be like, yes. He just made a comment about it.
Yes. Because having a personal relationship with someone changes your, you don't have the luxury of not having a relationship.
Someone should try to get him.
That's what most people do. They have the luxury of not having the relationship so they can say whatever they want.
Someone should try to prank McDermott on telling me that just to test me and see how I'd respond to it. More of your calls coming up, 888-808-1019. Plus, there's a new candidate for the Jet coaching job that's worthy of discussion because it's fascinating. He's legendary, but he also may not be a very good head coach. Well, the Jets are interviewing, statistically, one of the worst head coaches in the history of the NFL. But we'll get into why his candidacy is actually really interesting in just a few minutes. But it is Thursday at 4:30. You waited all week for an appearance from Bad Tiki. And of course, Bad Tiki is brought to you by Security Dodge, Chrysler Jeep Ram. Shop 24/7 at securitydodge.com and come get some. We do warn you in a very friendly way that Bad Tiki is a sentient AI-generated being and not affiliated with or representative of the real Tiki Barber. The views and opinions expressed by Bad Tiki do not reflect those of Tiki Barber, WFAN, Odyssey, or its advertisers. Tiki Barber is a real person with his own thoughts, beliefs, and opinions, which are entirely separate from those expressed by Bad Tiki. Listeners and viewers are strongly advised to exercise critical thinking and discernment when engaging with the Bad Tiki segment. Bad Tiki, welcome back!
Welcome back. I have to admit, Evan, I don't feel welcome. Bad Tiki is in a bad mood. Bad mood for bad boy, Bad Tiki.
Why? Why are you in such a bad mood, bro?
Evan, let's start with this congestion pricing in NYC. Bad Tiki knows a scam when he sees one. Nobody scams Bad Tiki. Do you have any idea how this affects me?
Wait, Bad Tiki, you don't even drive. How does this affect you?
That's right, regular Tiki. As an independently wealthy, successful, tall entrepreneur, I don't drive. I don't have to drive. But my legion of Tikis do. Over 70,000 of them. And now, thanks to congestion pricing, every single one of those Tikis has to shell out cash just to get into Manhattan. It's going to bleed my empire dry.
Wait, Bad Tiki, hold on. You're upset because you clone an army?
Correction, thick athlete, my perfectly coordinated and obedient Tiki army.
All right. You're perfectly coordinated, obedient, whatever. The Tiki army has to pay to get into the city. What exactly are they even doing here, bro?
I'm glad you asked. Sports talk, Winnie the Pooh. These Tikis handle all my appearances, swindles, and scams. Charity fundraisers, that's charity Tiki. Insider trading, that's Wall Street Tiki. Selling fake designer goods on Canal Street, bootleg Tiki. And now, every single time they step foot into the city, it costs me a fortune. Do you know how hard it is to grift when your overhead just doubled?
So let me get this straight. You're upset because it's more expensive to run scams in New York City?
That's right, Evan. These scams are going to get a lot more expensive. Street art, that's Banksy Tiki, psychic palm reading scams, Miss Cleo Tiki, having worthless takes on the internet while he should just shut his mouth and stick to selling t-shirts. Oh, sorry, that's Darren from the 7 Line. Keep my name out your mouth, you little Muppet, before I stick my hand up you further than the Will Ponds. Bad Tiki is very tall, therefore I have very big hands. Try me, little Darren. Sell out Muppet.
Wow.
Okay, Van Tiki, we get it. Your Tikis are going to suffer like the rest of New York City. Speaking of suffering, have you seen Sean's newest chain?
Oh, you mean the bedazzled L chain? I'm glad you finally acknowledged Sean for all of the L words he represents. Lardball, lapdog, land whale, and light bulb head. How did you get this job anyway, Sean? What do you have to offer besides that cottage cheese skin and those cans? Congrats, Shawnee. Mm-hmm. You've earned the right to wear that chain. It looks great on you.
Holy crap.
Ah, oh, that's cold-blooded, man. That's so cold-blooded. Speaking of cold, how are you handling the cold, old Bad Tiki?
I'm glad you asked, regular Tiki. I've been layering up and drinking hot cocoa, but I can't help but think about my Tikis who are out there braving the elements. Three-card Monty Tiki, all the costume characters in Times Square Tikis, and the Tiki who keeps Mrs. Roberts warm on a cold night like tonight. Right. Oh, wait, that's me, Bad Tiki. Oh, by the way, Evan, I'll be over in a little while. I'll pick you up some soup. Please stay in your room, though. I don't want to get sick. Bad Tiki needs to be strong. Strong, bad, bad Tiki. Okay, I have to go now. I have an interview for the Jets coaching job. I'm going to turn this team around once and for all. Bringing back old school football, baby. Run the ball, cheat, and bribe the referees. Bad Tiki, don't lose. Aaron Rodgers is going to love me. Okay, bye, losers. Bad Tiki, out.
I just want to make sure I heard something right. I think he said cottage cheese skin and those cans.
He's fat! That is what he said, yes.
That might have been one of the more epic cut downs, Sean.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah. I think that wins. I think that is the winner of all the bad Tikis we've heard over the years. Cottage cheese skin and those cans.
It is what my wife said to me when she met me.
I'm sure. I do remind you, Bad Tiki is a sentient AI-generated being not affiliated with or representative of the real Tiki Barber. He would not say a lot of those things. Mm. The views and opinions expressed by Bad Tiki do not reflect those of Tiki, FAN, Odyssey, or its advertisers. Tiki Barber is, in fact, a real person. He has his own thoughts, beliefs, and opinions, and they are entirely separate from those expressed by Bad Tiki. Listeners and viewers, we strongly advise you to exercise critical thinking and discernment when engaging with the Bad Tiki sentiment. I want to say this in the nicest way possible, but facts are the facts, right? You can't kind of get past the facts. If you made a list of the worst coaches based on winning percentage in the history of the NFL, the guy the Jets requested an interview with is actually second on the all-time list.
Wow.
If you rank coaches based on winning percentage with a minimum of 50 games, right? So it can't be just one season. 50 games.
50 games? That's at least three, right?
It's at least three seasons. Do you guys want to guess who has the lowest winning percentage in the last 50 years, the Super Bowl era, as we like to call it, in the NFL, the lowest winning percentage with at least 50 games? Want to guess?
Hugh Jackson?
That's a great guess. You nailed it, Tiki. Hugh Jackson. I mean, it helps when you go 0-16. Yeah.
That's the only reason I said it, because I know he went 0-16.
No, you're right. He has a 205 winning percentage. The guy who's number two with a 212 winning percentage is Steve Spagnuolo.
Wow.
Steve Spagnuolo is interviewing for the Jet job, or at least the Jets have requested an interview with Steve Spagnuolo. Now, we all know Steve is one of the great defensive coordinators in the history of football.
Right.
I'll go out and say that.
Right. What does he have? Three championships?
He's got the two with Kansas City, or the three with Kansas City, right?
He's got four, because he's got one with the Giants.
Right. Right.
So
he's got
four championships as a DC.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty damn good. Like, I would tell you, if we're ranking the greatest coordinators in the history of football, he's on the Mount Rushmore. Yeah. So I have nothing but respect for Steve Spagnuolo.
You think he's past Belichick as defensive coordinator? Best defensive coordinator?
It's a great question, because I think what's tough with Bill is that we morph some of what he did as a head coach and some of his defensive game plans.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Specifically what he did against the Rams in the first Super Bowl.
Right, you're right. And not even the Rams. Who was the more recent one? No, it was the Rams. That was the one where they lowest scoring. Right,
right, the two Rams Super Bowls, actually. Right. The first one and the last one.
Yeah, the last one was the one I'm thinking of, because that was a defensive masterpiece. But purely as a DC, he might be the best DC Super Bowl winning coordinator in NFL history.
No, I think he is. I think he absolutely is, because in terms of winning championships as a defensive coordinator, he's passed Bill Belichick. So there's nothing but respect for Steve Spagnuolo, and he had those 3 years with the Rams. I take away his interim stuff with the Giants. Like, that's not fair. Mm-hmm. Final four games of a year. But he had his one opportunity with the Rams, and it was so bad. He went 1-15, 7-9, and 2-14. That's how you get to this horrible winning percentage. So how do you, Tiki, look at Spags as a head coaching candidate?
He's just one of those guys that you know is a great coordinator, but not a great head coach. It has nothing to do with him being able to manage people, because I think he does that extraordinarily well and gets the best out of the guys on the side of the ball. But in today's game, you have to have an offensive mind. Now, I think maybe the trick is simply hiring the right offensive coordinator, you know what I mean? And hiring that guy who's going to be the difference maker offensively for you. But I think that's hard to do. Maybe he has him on his staff, like Matt Nagy, you know, who's on that Kansas City staff as well, who was also a head coach. Not a great one, but, you know, was head coach in Chicago.
Coach of the year.
Right, coach of the year. So maybe that could help. But as a defensive mind, he's phenomenal. You see it clearly this year, because the Kansas City Chiefs, offensively, aren't one of the best teams in football.
Right.
They've won because they're balanced defensively and can dominate games on that side of the bar, and a lot of that is Spags. But, I mean, his track record is what his track record is as a head coach. It is what it is.
The thing you hold out hope on, if you actually give him this opportunity, is that it was a decade ago.
Yeah.
Like, is it possible? And Steve's an older guy right now. He's 65 years old. That's not disqualifying. Maybe it's a good thing. He's learned so much.
It doesn't feel like he's that old, though.
Young 65.
Yeah, he definitely is.
Young 65. That's right. I admit, because we've had callers bring this up before. Like, hey, what about Spags? What about Spags? And I think a part of the appeal of Spags is that he had success here. Mm-hmm. It's just like, he's not a New York guy, though. He wasn't from New York, right? No. Is he?
He's from Boston originally.
Yeah, I think Boston. Yeah,
that's right.
He's from the Northeast, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, when Bruce Arians got the head coaching job, not the one in Indy where he filled in for Pagano when he got sick, but with the Arizona Cardinals.
61 years old.
Yeah. And think how, and that was, I mean, it was not that long ago.
Right.
But it felt like he was an old, new head coach.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so.
Yeah.
At 65, it's not disqualifying. Clearly it's not, because we've seen teams do this. Vic Fangio got a job and he was in his 60s as well. But is it ideal? That's the question. And I don't know. I mean, I feel like young is where it's trending. Because there's so many young minds that you want to give a chance to.
There's also precedent for this.
Yeah.
Of a really bad win-loss record as a head coach, going away and not being a head coach in the NFL, having success, and then coming back at an older age. Pete Carroll with the Seahawks.
Yeah, it's true.
Would you, so Sean, as a Giant fan who obviously loves Spags, how can you not?
Love him.
Would you hire him as a head coach?
I'd be more intrigued, because you know what? You have a couple things going for you. You learn about what went wrong and what didn't go wrong your first time around, right? And then you go live on a dynastic team after a while. You can't tell me he's going to be the same exact head coach he was, you know, 12 years ago. There's no way. So I would be intrigued by it. I would.
Well, look, I don't want to be a hypocrite, because I've talked about Brian Flores learning from his first experience. And I've been intrigued by a guy who has experience, and then you hope they learn from their first experience, and then in their second tenure, kind of like Bill Belichick, you take it to the next level. I think the turnoff on Spags is that it was so bad. If he had a very average tenure with the Rams, I'd probably view it differently. I think it's because it was so historically bad. He has the second worst winning percentage in the history of the NFL.
Yeah.
Like, those numbers are so jarring to me that I'm scared about taking that risk on making him the head coach, despite the brilliance that he's done as a defensive coordinator.
Well, the other thing he's going to have to do is do what we're saying about any defensive candidate. Have a good young offensive mind come with you. Does he have somebody on that Chiefs staff?
Well, he probably does. And that's probably the route.
Because what happened last time is he's a young defensive head coach. They take a shot on Sam Bradford, don't have the right offensive system in place. He's a bust of a quarterback, and it kills his win percentage, kills his opportunity.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of the sell when he's interviewing, which is, all right, who are you bringing over? what's your offensive staff going to look like? He deserves interviews. Like, he deserves that. But, like, when I read his name and I think about what he did with the Rams, and I also think about, well, he is one of the great defensive coordinators of all time. And he was here. He was in New York. That certainly helps. You know, obviously not as the head guy unless you count that interim moment he had when McAdoo was fired. I guess I can't get past 213, which is the winning percentage. Maybe I'm a bad guy.
Yeah, you are a bad guy.
So you'd hire him?
I don't know if I'd hire him, but you
so
are
then
bad,
he can't call me a bad guy.
You're a bad guy for bringing up the winning percentage.
Well, it's a part of your resume, man. I can't not bring it up. Now, let's get to some of your calls. 888-808-1019 is the number. Sammy in Howell, New Jersey has waited a while. We appreciate it. How are you, Sammy?
Thanks for taking my call this evening on my way home. Guys, I'm getting worried as a Mets fan because I'm hearing that the Mets and Alonso are far apart. But then again, I hear that it's an imminent deal that they're going to get it done. And if Pete Alonso, as a fan, as a Mets fan, that I breathe blue and orange. If he's anywhere out there, I'll tell him this. To stop the staring contest between Stearns and Boris, and I understand that as a professional, he wants all the money coming to him. He deserves it for his family. But if he leaves the Mets, there's nothing out there with all the money he can get, and he's going to go to an organization where he knows the clubhouse, he knows the owner, he knows the city, he knows the manager. If anything the Mets taught us last year was you win with good team chemistry. Obviously, talent you need and good managing. But Pete Alonso, if you're listening, man, just take the Mets deal. Become a Met for life. And
do we know if there's even a Met deal? Is there a Met deal? Do we know that yet?
I think there's a short-term offer that's been extended. That's what I would say. It's not nearly what he wants, and I think that's the hang-up. And thanks for the call, Sammy. I think the hang-up is he wants 5 or 6 years, and it's not out there. And the Met offer is probably 1 or 2 years. So you're asking him to not just give up the 5 or 6 years, but it's to come all the way back and just take a 1 or 2 year deal. And I think because it's still only January, the thought him and Scott Boras have is, well, things can change. Are they
going to
change?
I don't think it's going to change. And especially because you would think if someone was hot to trot for Pete Alonso, it would be happening now. You'd hear these conversations now. And the five-year deals would be more likely to happen now as opposed to later. Right? Why is a five-year deal going to happen later? It never works that way.
Especially when the first basemans have kind of all moved. So like...
Right.
The musical chairs session is sort of ending. Like, the Yankees don't need a first baseman anymore, right? The Houston Astros don't need a first baseman anymore. The Washington Nationals don't need a first baseman anymore. So some of the teams we had talked about, they're kind of off.
Right.
Let's go to Jay calling from Rutherford. How are you today, Jay? Hello, Jay.
Can you guys hear me?
Yep, what's up?
Yeah, sorry, what's up, man?
Nothing. Big fan, Tiki. Love you. You owe me some fantasy championships back in the day.
Hey.
Evan, for you, I hope Alonso signs a 2-year deal with the Royals. But my question was, for $44 million. $44 million to the Royals. Just to spice the dice.
Thanks.
No, hey,
thanks.
I'm talking about Spags. So, we agree. This guy is a great football mind.
Yeah.
And this is more for Tiki, because you would be able to tell us both sides.
Right.
How could he not figure out offense? Because as a defensive guy, he's like, okay, if they're going to line up this way, this is what I want to do. And if they're going to line up this way, this is what we're going to audible into. How can he not translate that into being offensive?
Well, it's not necessarily
– appreciate
your call, Jay. It's not necessarily him translating. It's him – unless you're in it as a coordinator or a quarterback coach or you're calling plays or you're teaching the schematics, it's almost impossible for – one side of the ball to jump to the other side of the ball. Like, I know they sit in on these meetings. For instance, who was it? Who were we talking to? I'm trying to remember. One of the defensive coaches was Antonio Pierce. Antonio Pierce, when we called one of his games earlier in the season, he was spending a lot of time sitting in with the offensive coordinator. And I asked him, why are you doing that? And especially when your expertise is on the defensive side of the ball. And he said, two reasons. One, he wanted to see how his offensive coordinator was operating when he ultimately fired. But two, it was, as a defensive mind, I can help them understand what the reaction is going to be to whatever schematic you're trying to put in there. And so, like, I think there's a there's a way for it to be helpful when you're a defensive mind, but you got to have a strong offensive coordinator if you're a defensive-minded head coach, right? It's just really hard to operate if you're trying to figure that out on the fly.
Yeah, and Steve Spags' offensive coordinator, I did not realize this, was Pat Shurmur.
Was it?
With the Rams?
Yes.
Huh.
That's interesting. And Shurmur is another one of those guys who's a very good coordinator.
Yeah.
Did not translate as a head coach. And he's also on that list of worst winning percentages in NFL history. You know where he's on the list? Worst winning percentage with at least 50 games coached in the Super Bowl era?
Where?
Number 5.
Get out.
Isn't that unbelievable?
That is unbelievable.
Here is the complete list. Some of the names you certainly
from
remember.
Bottom up?
From the top to the 5.
All right.
So worst to not as right. worse. Hugh Jackson's number 1. You nailed that one. A winning percentage of 205. Steve Spagnuolo, number 2 at 212. Gus Bradley, who had those few years in Jacksonville, at number 3. David Shula, which just shows you that... Yeah, the genes can't give you everything. He's number 4. David Pat Shurmur, number 5.
How many?
Isn't
those,
that crazy?
How many of those guys were tied to the Giants?
Well, in Spagnuolo's case,
wasn't Shula the quarterback coach?
Well, but he was the head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals.
I know,
in
but
the
wasn't
early 90s.
He the wasn't he the quarterback coach? Or was
no? Nah, he was. He worked in the Dolphin organization. He worked in the Cowboy organization.
Right.
Got the Bengal job. And after he failed with the Bengals, went to college and was the wide receiver coach for Dartmouth. In fact, he's right now the wide receiver coach for Dartmouth.
Oh, right.
So that's what David Shula is doing right now.
Nice.
At 65 years old, same age as Steve Spagnuolo. And it doesn't mean these guys aren't good coaches. It means they're not good head coaches.
Yes.
Or it was just the wrong circumstance.
Yeah, and a lot of that we'd have to go back and look at those rosters. But to have it for 3 years, it just kind of tells you, right? If you're the head coach and your roster is really bad in year one, it better get better in year two, which kind of
right.
did for Spags. But year three, it went right back to very, very sub 500.
Yeah, tanked all the way down. 1-15, 7-9, and then 2-14. Mm. But he's one of the latest candidates for the Jet head coaching job. Sean's got his Cinco de Favo list coming up in a few minutes. And Giant fans, you're going to have an interest in tonight's Penn State-Notre Dame game. Drew Aller is playing. What should we look for? Is he a legitimate candidate to change his mind, go into the NFL draft, and maybe be a guy the Giants take at 3 overall? We'll talk about him coming up.
Evan,
yesterday.
I think people are, by the way, before you get to that, yesterday, I think people are boycotting Manhattan because of the
what do you mean?
Congestion pricing. You know, we have issues coming in and out of the cities at times, mostly out of the city. Last night, going into the Holland Tunnel, and you just heard it now, it's like minutes. It usually is like... Could be an hour. Could be 45 minutes.
Especially on a Thursday. Thursdays have become like the worst driving day of
but
the
Evan,
week.
But Evan, I'm telling you, Tuesday, Wednesday, now Thursday, it's minutes. I come out of here and I don't even wait. I fly right through the lights and I'm out of the tunnel in 2.5 minutes.
So do you think that this congestion pricing is getting people to either take the trains or just work from home?
It's either that or people aren't coming into the city or bosses have made deals with them to say, hey, you can just work from home. I'm just telling you, like, this traffic is as light as I've ever seen.
That's interesting.
My trains have been emptier all week, too.
Right, so it's not this. So then people aren't taking the trains.
Right.
Yeah, I thought I was going to get much more crowded trains. I'm getting the opposite.
I will say something that I don't know if it's controversial. I guess it would be for some.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to tell me, now today is not a good day because I am broadcasting from home.
Right.
But I am broadcasting from home not because I made any kind of deal with my bosses. I guess there are still some protocols and I'm dealing with the COVID thing. No, if it was up to me and it was up to Tiki, I think I'd be in there.
Is it still a thing?
Well, enough for my boss to say you should stay home, but you know, whatever. So I like coming to work and I will be at work hopefully tomorrow or Monday and it's a thing.
Right.
But
it's your boss at home that you have to worry about.
That's true. She is the boss. Mm. If you're telling me that I've got to pay extra money in this congestion pricing, but it's going to cause no traffic when I'm driving home, which for me and you is at 6:30 at night, the height of rush hour, I got to tell you, I'm paying the freaking money.
I'm telling you. You're right. And I get a rebate because I come in below the zone. And so my Easy Pass clips back $3 or something.
There you go. Now, I understand a lot of people listening are going to get angry and say, screw you. I'm not talking about for you. We're all individuals. We all have individual choices. For most people, it'd be like nothing is worth this ridiculous congestion prices. I get that and I respect that. I'm just saying, if you're telling me there's never going to be traffic again, but I'm paying extra money, I think it's worth it. Right. So you pay for certain things in life,
Evan,
that would be worth it for me.
There are days where I sit for 35 minutes just to go the 3 blocks to get out of the city. It's three blocks, literally 3 blocks. It takes me 35 minutes sometimes. So
you agree with my elitist statement that you are willing to pay for
me? It's going to cost me $6 to not have to wait 30 minutes and get home 40 minutes earlier? Absolutely.
Yeah. I would look at it as buying first-class plane tickets. Like, you spend a lot more money, but you're getting something for that money. Anyhow, yesterday we had a very controversial Cinco de Five-O. Let's see if Sean ratches up the controversy today.
Cinco de Five-O with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Five-O is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything, everywhere, and by Mercedes-Benz of Morristown. Visit us online at 888thebenz.com. All right, without further ado, the five greatest moments of Dennis Potvin's career. Here we go. No, I'm just kidding.
You're funny.
It's going to be the top five with the open of the show, by the way. Go back on the Odyssey Rewind app in case you missed it. Tiki, as a lifelong New York Giant, had some words of advice for Pete Alonso should he not come back to the New York Mets. And I'm here to give you, in my opinion, the five New York athletes who probably regret leaving.
Mm. Oh, that's a good list. Yeah, I like that.
Okay, here we go.
Here we go!
Number five.
When I started to put together this list, there was one I put and I first murmured and joked about. And then as I did more research, I said, I don't think this is a joke anymore. And that's number five. Kevin Durant.
What?
You know, the Sun situation. No, but think about it, Tiki. The Sun situation has not worked out, so much so that he might be again pushed out after this year.
Right. What is he, 36, 37?
Yeah, and he's already vocally discussed, you know, Brooklyn's kind of his home. He's kind of his hat there. And if I had to think, a guy like Kevin Durant who's hopped around a bit, if you gave him truth serum, I should have just stuck this out and made myself a net for the rest
of the year. The Nets still in the league? Yeah.
I think you're 1,000% right on.
That's
because I think if he stays, this growing fan base would have adored him. We would have said, that's our loyal guy. He comes here with all this hype. Yes, it doesn't work. Not necessarily his fault. He sticks it out through a rebuild or a transition. His number would be retired. We'd all love him. I agree with you. He's never going to be loved. You've brought this up before, Tiki. He doesn't have a home.
No.
He had a chance to have a home if he stayed with the Nets, even if they weren't successful.
Yep.
That's a good one.
All right, here we go.
Number four.
Number four for me is very recent, but I have to assume based on Instagram, it's Juan Soto. I don't know if anybody has seen these workout videos in this orange and blue gear, but boy, he has this face. That smile he had last year already appears gone.
Oh, God, stop it.
It only took you to number four to begin the attempt at trolling, I say.
No, look, I'm just giving an honest observation.
Okay.
I could have this read wrong. He doesn't have that same smile.
We'll save and kind of remember this one, and if he has a terrible season, then we'll agree.
All right.
But right now, get out of here.
All right, here we go.
Number three.
Number three is John Tavares. See, Islander fans, I don't always forget Islanders. he hasn't come close to winning anything in Toronto. And honestly, if you look at the timing of when he left, maybe the Islanders and John Tavares find their way to a Stanley Cup in one of those two conference finals that they lost in with John Tavares still a piece of the puzzle.
Here's what's really interesting about this. I don't know how the sports fans of Toronto view John Tavares. How do they view him?
Right.
Do they view him as the hometown hero who came home wearing his dopey pajamas? Do they view him as, we haven't gotten to that next step? So I think a lot of it is how he's viewed up there. If he stays with the Islanders, to your point, even if they don't win a championship, which they haven't, even if they go to the same places they went, which was back-to-back semifinals, however you want to phrase it, because it was weird during COVID, you're kind of right. Like, he's a legend amongst Islander fans. So
he might go down as the best non-dynasty member in New York Islanders history.
No question. And he ruined that. You know, it's similar to the Pete thing in that Islander fans will never celebrate John Tavares. Now, it is different in that he'll be hated. Yeah. Pete, I don't think, would be hated. But, yeah, with some truth serum, I wonder if John Tavares would say, you know what, I was better off sticking around and being a lifelong Islander.
Absolutely. All right, here we
Number
go.
Number two.
Number two is not a guy who I think probably regrets leaving. It's a guy who I know regrets leaving. It's Andy Pettit. And how do I know?
Huh.
He regretted it so much, he freaking came back to win a World Series one more time. That Andy Pettit, I get it, he went home, he followed Roger Clemens. And this is another thing. He was so tight with Roger Clemens. Oh, what happened with the PED stuff and following Roger? Really,
well, that's probably the regret.
It ruined his legacy, too. So I think being, you know, Roger's henchman going back home to the family, and he ultimately came back and had to finish his story again.
Yeah. But I think because he came back, it changes it a little.
I agree. I agree with Tiki's point. The fact he came back erases that. You almost forget he was in Houston.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't. Crush me. All right. Here we go.
Number one.
And number one, it's Darryl Strawberry. It's undeniable. He himself has, how many times has he now discussed this publicly?
Yeah.
How much he hates the way it ended, basically felt pushed out. But Darryl Strawberry wanted to be a lifelong Met. And I think that's the biggest travesty of it all with this list.
Yeah, I think you nailed it.
But that almost wasn't his fault. Right?
No, but he could have handled himself better towards the end. Again, I'm way too young for this, but everything you read and watch on the documentary, like, this is how it feels, right?
So in a way, it's his fault or it's the Mets' fault. He was offered more money by the LA Dodgers, Cashin handled the negotiations, I think, in a disrespectful way.
Oh, maybe this is more similar to the Pete Alonso thing than we're thinking.
Yeah. Because I think what Darryl is now saying is, I was offered more money, and I was drawn in by going home, but looking back on it, I should have just stayed.
Yeah.
Like, the Mets were making an offer. It's not like the Mets said, just go leave. They just didn't make as good of an offer as the Dodgers did.
It's an interesting list that you did, and I think the last one, interesting, creates a discussion that we have with Pete, because somebody's going to offer him a deal. We don't know what the Mets are offering yet. We don't know the parameters, the length, the number, the total number, et cetera. But at some point, he's going to have to decide. Because I know the Mets are going to offer something.
Yes. But he's going to have to decide.
It may not be 9 years or 6 years, but they're going to offer something. And so he's going to have to make a choice.
There are two guys you left off this list. I'm not, like, yelling at you.
No, I'll guess one.
Go ahead.
Robinson Cano was number six.
Robinson Cano. How do you leave Robbie Cano off?
Because if I put Robbie Cano in, I can't get my dig in Soto in. So for me.
So it's a choice between. Right.
That's a choice I had to make and a choice I made and a choice I live with.
I'm going to give you one that I know is so easy to fight back with me on. So I'm going to be a fanboy when I say this. Darrell Revis.
The guy won a Super Bowl.
I know. And that's the easy retort. He won a Super Bowl.
He also came back.
He did, but he came back, and it was over.
He was a shell, but whatever.
Yeah.
He came back, and then he's now a Hall of Famer. Hall of Famer.
But I think the difference between Darrell Revis being... Darrell Revis is loved by Jet fans. He's not beloved by Jet fans, if that makes any sense. Like, there's still kind of discourse on Darrell Revis where it's controversial, where with a guy like Joe Klecko, it's not.
Right.
And so I think Darrell leaving and going to Tampa Bay and then eventually New England, of all places, and winning a championship hurts his Jet legacy. Now, for him, it may not matter because he won a Super Bowl, to your point, Sean. But if you care about your legacy with one franchise, I think it's different if he spends his entire career here.
He also made a ton of money.
He did.
Helps.
No, I think that's a good one, Evan. I absolutely do.
So yesterday, if you missed it, Sean made a list of the greatest fives in New York sports history. And there were two controversies attached to that. One of which was the one I yelled at him about, and that was the fact that he disrespected David Wright and put Daniel Girardi ahead of him, the former New York Ranger.
We just call him Dan, Evan. You don't have to call him Daniel Girardi.
I know.
Well, I spoke to the Girardis last night. We had a long conversation.
Did you? You called his dad Joe first?
Is that his dad's name? Oh, Joe Girardi. I got you. You got me. So what I said to Sean yesterday when he disrespected David by putting Daniel or Dan Girardi ahead of David is, I said, can you do me a favor? Can you text Boomer Esiason?
Boomer Esiason!
As a Ranger Met fan and ask him his opinion.
And whose side was he on?
Well, Sean never texted him, but a caller to our radio station, a loyal listener to Evan and Tiki, decided to then call Boomer and Geo this morning and throw the whole thing at Boomer and Geo, specifically Boomer. And it includes everything, including Potvin being left out, into Girardi versus David Wright. So we'll let you take a listen to this. Because this is what all I asked Sean to do was text Boomer Esiason. He wouldn't do it, but luckily, one of our callers did it. So I take you back till about 7:45 this morning with Boomer and Geo. Take a listen.
Of that. Boomer, I got a question for you. I don't know if you ever received Sean Morris' text, but Evan asked him to text you yesterday during the Cinco de Five-O. I don't give this list much credibility because they were doing the top five number fives in New York history, and they left out Dennis Poffin. I mean, come on, give me a break.
Wow, that's a bad job on their part. That's just overseas.
Well, it was Sean. Yeah. Sean, let's be clear. But Sean, so I don't give it much credibility when you leave out one of the best number fives in New York, but he tried to say that Dan Girardi was a better number five than David Wright. Now, look, I know you're a Ranger and a Mets fan, and you'll call it down the middle. Do you actually believe, well, knowing now you know Poffin was left off the list, can you really give credibility to Sean that he thinks Dan Girardi had a better New York career than David Wright? And you're a Ranger and a Mets fan. I'd like to know if you ever heard what happened yesterday.
They're very similar in their careers for the sports in which they play. And I would say that both guys were great. I know that David Wright, for Met fans, is like one of the faces of the franchise. You don't feel that way about Dan Girardi. But Dan Girardi, when he was playing here and he was young and he was really playing well, he was a great player for us. So I can't believe they left Dennis Poffin.
Well, I mean,
and by the way, that's when
the Poffin stuff. Who cares?
I know. At that point, Gio did a great, and I cut this part out, but Gio then explained that Sean is a troll and he does this stuff on purpose. But to the Girardi point, I got to tell you, man, and I told you,
are you shocked, Evan? Are you shocked?
I'm very disappointed in Boomer's answer.
It's not what God.
And I'm just
disappointed because he's shocked you by being anti your point.
Look, I admit I take a step back and say, as someone who watches hockey casually, I can't argue in the same passionate way because my views on Dan Girardi are not as clear as my views on David Wright, but it was some of the tone that he used that really disappointed me. I have to admit it, because look, again, you guys can correct me as diehard Ranger fans. How many times was Dan Girardi an All-Star?
Once, I believe.
Okay, one time. So, as a defenseman, how often was he considered one of the better defensemen in the entire NHL? How often did that happen?
A lot, but he was never...
No, not a lot, because he was a one-time All-Star.
But Evan, I'm gonna just step in, because I understand where you're going with it. Let me just
but let me just finish, and then you step in.
Okay.
David Wright made the All-Star team seven times. Mm-hmm. David Wright got MVP votes. Don't David worry. Wright I won this. Gold Gloves. Like, I just... And the way he said, I know two Met fans, like it was almost like Boomer was talking down to us about David Wright.
Okay, let me ask you a
question. And I don't know why.
Evan, let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
Who's the greatest receiver in New York Giants history?
Who's the greatest receiver in New York Giants history?
Yeah.
Is it Amani Toomer, I guess?
How many Pro Bowls did he make?
Do you really want me to be a jerk right now? You don't exactly have a great list of wide receivers in your franchise.
It doesn't matter,
history.
But...
You don't have Don Maynard, even though he was there for 1 year.
Who's the greatest receiver in New York Giant history?
But that's what is that prove?
Amani Toomer. You don't means you don't have to make Pro Bowls.
I'm comparing two people, though.
You don't have to be an All-Star.
It's also different sports, Evan. The baseball All-Star game is a little different. First of all, in Dan Girardi's career, there were several years where the NHL All-Star game didn't even exist. There were also a lot of moments where you're playing, you know, 4-on-4, and they're taking less defensemen on the team every year. Also, Dan Girardi played at a position where, unfortunately, in that sport, he was not like a puck-pushing, like, play the power play. He did things that don't show up on the stat sheet. He was a sacrifice his body, block a million shots, career cut short, like David Wright's career was cut short.
Right.
Heart and soul, big reason why they did finally cross over and make a Stanley Cup like David Wright making a World Series.
Mm-hmm.
It is a lot more similar than you want. He just doesn't have the flashy, like he didn't hit home runs in baseball.
Right.
I went a different route because I do trust Boomer as a Met Ranger fan, and I respect his opinion. I was just disappointed with his opinion. I went to somebody else. I went to a friend of mine who is a diehard Ranger hater and Met hater. And I figured, let me ask him, like the complete opposite. Like, somebody who hates the Rangers and somebody who hates the Mets. In fact, this guy, I argued David Wright versus Don Mattingly, and it caused him to go nuts. Can I get an answer from him as an equal opportunity hater?
Sure.
Okay. Well, I just asked him,
Now,
Dan Girardi versus David Wright, you know what his answer was?
What?
Dennis Poffin.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. But it makes sense.
He's skewed because he's listening.
Evan,
yes.
We are 24 and a half hours since this list.
Yeah.
The fact that you wanted the answer from Boomer you got, the fact that it took a listener calling into Boomer about this, you must at least admit this. It is not as laughable as you think if we're still discussing this 24 hours later.
Good point.
Good thing you're not here, because otherwise you'd wear the L for the next hour.
Is that true? I was really taken back by Boomer's answer. I was very surprised. And again, I respect him. I don't think he's coming from an evil place, but I got a lot of, like, he didn't like David Wright from his answer. Like, I got an anti-Wright vibe from him. And I don't know where that would even come from.
But you know what's funny about that? There's a lot of Ranger fans who, if you actually talk to, you would get an anti-Girardi vibe because they didn't like the way it ended because his body broke down and he wasn't the same player the last couple of years and people turned on their players.
Right.
You think it's possible Boomers just likes the Rangers more than the Mets and that maybe is what skewed the answer?
Very, very, very possible. That's what I took from it.
That he's okay.
Yeah, he's a
bigger
Ranger
you took?
Fan. Okay. And he's also the voice of the Rangers on this radio station. So people look to him as the Ranger voice.
Not anymore.
So he didn't. Well, no, because Boomer actually, you know, doesn't skip the podium like you. So I think people look to Boomer as the Ranger guy, so he didn't want... I think he ultimately put Wright over Girardi, but he didn't want to say that.
Well, I just want to say my dear friend of mine who hates the Mets and hates the Rangers equally did finally respond and said David Wright was better. So I do feel a little bit better, feel a little bit more cleaner about this that I got that answer. But I do want to thank Chris in Orlando, who made that phone call. I appreciate it. And it just is a reminder, Sean, you could have done it. You could have saved us a lot of time. Instead, you waited for a caller to do your dirty work. And for that reason, you should wear the L for an extra day.
I sent the last text to Boomer. He owes me a text. That's all I'll say.
What do you mean? Like you wrote him and he didn't write you back?
Yeah, I'm not going to make that public.
And well, What was it about?
Me and Boomer were supposed to go to a hockey game together, and he never came back.
Really? Oh. Did he promise you said hockey game, or was it like you inviting yourself?
I'm going to utter something right now. I am not a beggar. with all due respect, I'm not Peter Schwartz on that morning show. Boomer and I had discussed going to a game together. He kind of left it at, all right, I'm going to reach back out to you next week. I haven't heard back from him since, and that was 3 weeks ago.
Nice. Thank you, SNY, for joining us today. They're taking off a little bit earlier because we're taking off a little bit earlier. Stay tuned for Baseball Night in New York coming up at 6 p.m. That's not right now, but in about 37 minutes at 6 p.m. presented by Tri-State Cadillac coming up soon on SNY.
I want to close that thought because I don't want this becoming a whole fodder thing now. I am not angry at Boomer for that. It's just one of those things when you leave it in an awkward spot.
You can't double text. It's like when you're dating a girl.
Silly.
You don't want to double text.
I'm not mad at him. I'm not begging to go to a guy. I just felt silly now.
I'm the same way. If I write somebody and they don't write me back and I need something else from them, I won't write them.
Yeah, I'm good.
Well, but I just want to make this clear because I'm trying to figure this out. Boomer promised you a Ranger game, like taking you to a Ranger game?
Yeah. So I did the Boomer and Geo Live thing by the way, don't have to give me anything for doing that. He said on stage I would go sit ice side with him at a Ranger game.
Oh, that's nice.
Which was great. So then my wife was filling out a December calendar, and I just think, like, oh, look, dude, no big deal if this was only like, you know, we were just kind of pumping up the crowd. I just let me know if this is true or not so I could let him know. He goes, and he said something back to me about another family. He goes, let me just figure out what's going on with them. I'll get back to you. I haven't heard back since.
Well, the season's not over.
And the game is passed.
that's the problem.
Game is passed, that he said. Again, I don't need to, that's not what I'm asking for. It's just one of those things
You know what happened?
It's all awkward.
You know what? I can guarantee you what happened.
What's that? You did
something nice, right, by being involved, sure. And they appreciate you. And Boomer, as a good guy, was like, you know what? I'm going to take you to a Ranger game. I got to give you something. I know you didn't ask anything, but I'm going to give it to you. And then, as he started to think about it and he received the text message, he realized, I don't want to go to a Ranger game with this guy.
By the way, maybe that's the case.
I don't want to spend 3 hours with him.
And that's okay if he felt that way. I love Boomer nonetheless. It's totally okay.
Speaking of seats and going to games, I'm scrolling through Instagram last night, and I saw that Pete Hoffman and one of his sons was at
Went with my tickets last
night.
Sure
did.
Yeah.
Yeah. How'd he get those tickets?
From me.
Interesting.
How else would he get my tickets?
Off air the other day, you told me that when you think of the Knicks and Knick fans here, you think of Tommy Lugauer, and you haven't offered me your seats at all this year.
Pete Hoffman, who's
not even a Knick fan, I don't believe, got your seat.
Tommy, you're going to look very stupid right now, but I'll tell you.
He's trying to reward him for the Ricos. That's
not even that. Pete has a son. Pete has a young son who loves basketball. It's not Pete Hoffman going to a Knick game. It's his kid going to a Knick game. So when you and your wife have a young little kid and you want to take him to a Knick or Net game or her to a Knick Net game, then we'll talk. But until then, I'm not giving you, who just wants everything for free, I'm not going to give you that. So... No, come on.
I have to have
tickets
child?
From me?
So what if I just, all right, fine. Sean, you have two daughters.
Yeah.
Why don't you? I'll take one of the daughters and we'll go to the Knick game. They'll go with Uncle Lou.
Oh, that's not
game.
That's not weird
so
at all.
All I need is a, why is it not weird? I know his kids. Sean, I know his family forever.
Sean.
Bro.
Sean.
I won't even let you hold their hand in my own house. Go to Madison Square Garden with my kid, you?
What do you think? I'm going to lose them?
Yeah.
It's an easy train right from Long Island. I'll meet them
easy
over there.
Train.
Just
from
drop your kid off. Just put them on the train and they'll meet me there.
No, you're so self-centered. You can't keep track of a kid. Are you
kidding
me?
Oh, I'll be fine. But this is Evan's guidelines. I have to have a child. No, I'm Billy Zane in Titanic.
No,
I need a child.
The difference is Pete Hoffman works a lot harder for Evan on the Rico than you do
oh,
for him on the show.
Oh, shut up. He just said it wasn't about the Rico Bronya. And I'm sure Evan tipped out Pete at the end of the year.
Also, imagine this. Imagine Tommy is so desperate to get free tickets to go to a sporting event. He's willing to borrow a child from his friend.
Scary and sad.
To take them to the game. If that's not the weirdest thing, I don't know.
I'm assuming they've never gone to a basketball game, you know, because, you know, Sean's a Net fan. So you get to see a real basketball game in a real arena, and I would take one of your two daughters to the game.
You know what? That's the other thing, too. My kid's first basketball game is not going to be with you poisoning them with the Knicks. Not going to happen.
That's a good point.
Maybe I could take Jed or Spence. There you go.
That's a no shot.